بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا.
O people, fear your Lord who created you from a single being, and out of it created its mate, and out of the two spread many men and women. Fear Allah in whose name you plead for rights, and heed the ties of kinship. Surely, Allah is ever watchful over you.
وَآتُوا الْيَتَامَى أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَا تَتَبَدَّلُوا الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ ولا تأكلوا أموالهم إلى أموالكم إنه كان حوبا كبيرا.
Give orphans their property, and do not exchange the bad for the good, and do not eat up their property by mixing it with your own. This surely is a mighty sin.
وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا.
If you fear that you might not treat the orphans justly, then marry the women that seem good to you, two or three or four. If you fear that you will not be able to treat them justly, then marry only one. Or marry from among those whom your right hands possess. This will make it more likely that you will avoid injustice. Then marry the women that seem good to you, two or three or four. It should be noted that making polygamy lawful was not the real purpose of this verse, for polygamy was already in vogue in Arabia, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, himself had more than one wife when this verse was revealed. The real objection of its revelation was to help solve the problem of orphan children of Muslim martyrs, for it tells the Muslims that if they cannot give the orphans their due rights, they may marry women with orphan children. If you fear that you will not be able to treat them justly, then marry only one. Muslim jurists are agreed that according to this verse, the maximum number of wives has been fixed at four. This verse stipulates that marrying more wives than one is permissible on the condition that one treats one's wives equitably. A person who avails himself of this permission granted by God to have a plurality of wives and disregards the condition laid down by God to treat them equitably has not acted in good faith with God. In case there are complaints from wives that they are not being treated equitably, the Islamic State has the right to intervene and redress such grievances. Some people, who have been overwhelmed and overawed by the Christianized outlook of Westerners, have tried to prove that the real aim of the Quran was to put an end to polygamy, which, in their opinion, is intrinsically evil. Such arguments only show the mental bondage to which these people have succumbed. That polygamy is an evil per se is an unacceptable proposition, for under certain conditions it becomes a moral and social necessity. For this reason, the Quran has allowed those who feel the need for it to resort to polygamy. The Quran has expressed its permission of polygamy in quite categorical terms. Indeed, there is not the slightest hint in the Quran that could justify the conclusion that it advocates abolition of polygamy. Or marry from among those whom your right hands possess.
This expression denotes slave girls. For instance, female captives of war who are distributed by the state among individuals when no exchange of prisoners of war takes place.
وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صدقاتهن نحلة فإن طبن لكم عن شيء منه نفسا فكلوه هنيئا مريئا.
Give women their bridal due in good cheer, considering it a duty. But if they willingly remit any part of it, consume it with good pleasure.
وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَاكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا.
Do not entrust your properties, which Allah has made a means of support for you, to the weak of understanding, but maintain and clothe them out of it, and say to them a kind word of admonition.
وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُم مِّنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا وَبِدَارًا أَن يَكْبَرُوا وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًّا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ وَمَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِذَا دَفَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فَأَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا.
Test the orphans until they reach the age of marriage, and then if you find them mature of mind, hand over to them their property, and do not eat it up by either spending extravagantly or in haste, fearing that they would grow up and claim it. If the guardian of the orphan is rich, let him abstain entirely from his ward's property. And if he is poor, let him partake of it in a fair measure. When you hand over their property to them, let there be witnesses on their behalf. Allah is sufficient to take account of your deeds. Test the orphans until they reach the age of marriage. When such people approach their majority, their mental development should be watched so as to determine to what extent they have become capable of managing their own affairs. And if he is poor, let him partake of it in a fair measure. The guardian is entitled to remuneration for his services. The amount of this remuneration should be one that is deemed fair by neutral and reasonable people. Moreover, the guardian is directed that he should take a fixed and known amount by way of remuneration, and he should take it openly rather than secretly, and that he should keep an account of it.
لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرُ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا.
Just as there is a share for men in what their parents and kinsfolk leave behind, so there is a share for women in what their parents and kinsfolk leave behind. Be it little or much, a share ordained by Allah, be it little or much. This verse embodies five legal injunctions. First, that women as well as men are entitled to inheritance. Second, that inheritance, however meager it might be, should be distributed. Third, that the law of inheritance is applicable to all kinds of property, movable and immovable, agricultural, industrial, and so on. Fourth, that the right of inheritance comes into force only after a person dies, leaving some property behind him, but not while he is alive. Fifth, it implies the rule that immediate blood relatives exclude those that are further removed. This law has been further explained in verses 11 and 33.
وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا.
And if other near of kin orphans and needy are present at the time of division of inheritance, give them something of it and speak to them kindly.
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا.
And those who would have been fearful on account of their helpless offspring they may have behind them, let them fear Allah and say what is right.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا.
Behold, those who wrongfully devour the properties of orphans only fill their bellies with fire. Soon they will be burning in the blazing flame.